Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brower, and I'm so glad you're with us today. And Austin, I'm glad you're with me today, too. So congratulations. You're about to have a baby, boy.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see how it goes. Lana's out walking today, so hopefully she can get this boy to get to work and come out. He seems like he doesn't want to leave this cozy home right now, so we'll see what happens over the next couple of days.
Well, we've been praying for God's perfect timing, so we'll see how that works out. But I think that she's getting pretty close now. But yesterday I finished off the show talking about something that happened with Harrison in school, so I'm going to cover that real quickly with you guys so you understand what we're doing with this socialistic communist system that we have in the schools now and the higher education. But Harris is my youngest son. He's in his second year of college, completing it now. He's 16 years old. He'll be 17 at the end of the month. He's a junior in high school, and he will be completing his third year of college by the time he's a senior with about 12 hours of college left to complete his bachelor's degree, and he will graduate with his bachelor's degree at the age of 18. Now, it's been interesting because in these secular school systems, you get a whole kind of different education than you were used to getting in homeschool. And what happened to him this past week is interesting, and you guys are going to love this. He's in a college algebra class, and the class, Harrison gets like a 98 on his last algebra test, and the majority of the class failed the test, probably half, over half, probably 60%, got Fs, Ds, and Fs on the test. Now, when I was a college professor, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Now, what I could do now, if I had a student who basically, got a 100 on a test, I wouldn't curve a test. If my top grade on a test was like an 85, then I would basically curve the test 15 points for everybody to make sure everybody got a fair chance, because maybe I would put the test together incorrectly, or maybe it was a little bit too hard, or maybe some of the questions were ambiguous. So I was really, really careful all of the time, and I was always give 10% of the course grade would be depending upon their class participation and their class assignments and their class homework, et cetera, and their attitude as far as in the class. Now, that gave me the opportunity to literally change a letter grade if I wanted to at the end, depending on what the kid was willing to do and how hard the kid was willing to work. In other words, if he ended up, we get an 85 average or whatever, I had another 10% that I could give him or not give him. So I could give him a B, or I could get him up to a 95 and give him an A. So I always try to be the greatest college professor there ever was. It's kind of what I do. I try my best at everything that I put my feet to or my hands to or whatever. And so kids came to me years after I finished teaching in Tallahassee and told me, and this is just by the grace of God, that I was the best professor they ever had. Now, here's what this professor did. A whole bunch of kids in the class got A's, but a whole bunch of the kids who didn't want to study got D's and F's. So the teacher decided he was going to let them take the test over again for everybody, and he would let them take it home and take the test. In other words, they could all work together on their homework projects together on this test, and then they would average the two grades together. So if somebody got a 60, then they got a 100, they'd end up with a B for the class, or a B for the club's thing. So they'd go from an F to a B. Now, that's socialism. That's what socialism is. In other words, it doesn't matter how hard you work or how hard you strive, like 15 or 20 of the kids in the class that got A's. It doesn't matter if you do that. The only thing that matters is that the whole group doesn't feel slighted. It's basically like giving everybody a trophy. Now, the problem I have with all of this is it really waters down the educational system, because the kids begin to realize very, very quickly that they can do this. And the teacher, if they get bad enough grades, will do this every single time. So it will look better for that teacher, because they have that ratemyprofessor.com, and you can rate teachers that you've had. Now, the craziest thing about all of this is the ratemyprofessor.com, I think, should be taken off. I don't think that's even right, because it prevents that teacher from wanting to have that type of reputation if he's a hard teacher. And so they'll say, oh, he's really, really fair, blah, blah, blah. Now, don't get me wrong. In the biochemistry program at Florida State University, in biology and chemistry program at Florida State University, we had some absolutely horrific professors. They were horrible, horrible, horrible people. They were terrible professors, and they were horrible people. The only thing they cared about was their research and their writing and getting published. They didn't care. I remember I was taking this class in biochemical genetics, and I spent 400 hours in the laboratory. I was working with a bread mold called Neurospora crassa, literally 30 to 40 hours every single week in lab on this one class. And I ended up acing the final. It was an oral final in front of the class. You had to turn a paper in, and then the faculty quizzed you in front of themselves and other faculty members, and you were given an oral final, the only one I was ever given in college. And so I got 100 on the oral final. I got everything right. And I ended up seeing my report card, and I got a B. Okay? I aced the finals, aced the class, aced everything. finally, I met the professor, and I said, why did you give me a B? He said, I was like your best student. He goes, well, you by the ultraviolet radiation of this bread mold, never discovered anything new that we could publish. And I'm like, that's all by happenstance and by luck, by chance. He goes, well, I know that. He said, I had to bend over backwards to give you a B. And I said, you're being a complete and total, well, I won't tell you what I called him, but that wasn't a nice word. Sometimes I'm glad I'm a Baptist because sometimes some of the language I may use every once in a while I get really mad. Maybe if I was a Pentecostal, I probably wouldn't get to heaven. I cannot, Pentecostal brothers feel that way, you know? So I cannot believe this guy said this to me. I mean, here I was, his number one student in the class, aced the final, aced the paper, aced everything, but he had to bend over backwards to give me a B. His name was Gib DeBusk. Now, you guys may have heard of him. You may not. It doesn't make a difference to me. May he rest in peace if he's dead, which he probably is, because that was, gosh, that was 35, 40 years ago. But the point was, this is the kind of professors you get sometimes. They're just awful. So for those kind of people, we need a ratemyprofessor.com so everybody can say, don't take this guy, don't take this guy, don't take this guy. So in those aspects, it's okay. But if you get a really good professor who's trying to do the best for his classes, but a bunch of kids decide to slam him, it's bad. Now, some people say they can actually delete certain types of people's comments on their profiles. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what Harrison told me. So the point is this, guys, the entire educational system is indoctrinating these kids into socialism. That's what this is. And sadly, this is why we're graduating children now from college who are illiterate. And I mean that very sincerely. They are illiterate. They get passed from class to class. They come out of there with a 2.0 GPA. A lot of them end up being in the education system or in PE or whatever, and they graduate, and they are literally functionally illiterate. And it goes on and on and on. This is what happens when you do that. So, Austin, any comments?
No, that's interesting. But, yeah, I've definitely been hearing about that more and more now in the college realm, primarily because of what you just said. A lot of these kids can't even barely get through high school, and then they go to college, and they have absolutely no idea how to study or read or take exams or do anything properly. So they pretty much go through their whole college career, you know, with D's, C's, barely getting by, and professors like this really help subsidize that. But, yeah, I remember even back when I was at Southeastern, I mean, there really wasn't any incidents like that. I mean, you you either studied and did your work or that was it, you know, or you had to retake a class if you basically got a bad grade and you wanted to go over it with a new grade. You had to take the class all over again. So, but I've heard about this more and more now. These professors are doing this where essentially they're just letting people take the exams home if they don't do good on them. And, you know, the sad part about it is, here's the part that I don't like. Harrison got an A on the exam. He has the option to take it home, but he doesn't get any extra credit if he gets a, you know, if he does it again or if he does anything different. So these other kids have absolutely nothing to lose. If they do it and they get a better grade, it automatically brings their grade up. Harrison has no incentive to do it again. And he has no incentive to really even study for the next exam, because if that's the case, he can just retake the next one and take it home just like he did on this one.
Well, he said something to the professor about it, because he said, come on, Doc, really? And the professor said, come on, Harrison, really? You know you're going to get an A in this class anyhow. See, the professor missed the entire point. Harrison literally comes home every day and for hours, every day does homework. Sometimes he does homework the entire weekend when he's been loaded up. Remember, he's a 16-hour junior. He's taking 16 collegiate hours on campus. This is not online. At the university, every single week he's at school, 16 hours, and he studies all of the time, and he has a 4.0 GPA. So he's trying and busting his butt so he has a high GPA to get into law school. And it's crazy to me that these professors don't even understand that they're teaching these kids socialism. They're teaching them, don't worry, you can do it over and over and over. Everybody's going to get a trophy. It's okay. It doesn't matter. And it's always about ratemyprofessor.com or about the school or about the government subsidies or about the student loans. And see, this is one of the things that I was never told, because I was an adjunct professor in Tallahassee for 2 years when I was up there, and nobody ever took me inside and told me how the real world worked. They didn't tell me that when you had people come into your classrooms that you weren't allowed to give them D's or F's. They didn't tell me that. They just told me just to do the best I could, which I did. And, you know, when I have kids who come to my classrooms who didn't know how to read or write and would leave short answer essays completely blank, And this is my favorite. They would leave true-false questions completely blank, which blew my mind. In fact, after that happened in one class, I said, okay, guys, I've got to teach you guys probability now, what 50-50 means, blah, blah, blah. So don't leave true-false blank. Don't ever do that. Don't ever leave multiple choice blank. Don't ever do that. The only time you ever do that is like if you're taking the LSAT. And if you don't know the answer to a question, they give you sometimes five parts. And if you don't know, they actually take points off the score, so it's possible to go negative on scores if you start guessing. So it's better to leave the answer blank. But those are some crazy scores, some crazy tests. We had another one of those horrible professors at Florida State. Gosh, I don't remember his name anymore. It was a physiology class that I took. And I remember the average score for the first exam was like a 31. That was the average score. Remember, we're all pre-medical students, right? And I mean, and everybody's like getting, it was possible. Some people actually had negative scores on the test. They were like a negative 30, a negative 40, okay? And I finally stood up. They were going over the test. And I said, look, this is ridiculous. I said, this is not a test of our abilities or our skills or our knowledge. This is simply a test of our test-taking ability. This is stupid that you're doing this. And who are you? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, here we go again. And I thought to myself, this is so ridiculous. How in the world can they get away with that? And I remember years later, oh gosh, it's been now 15 years ago, Florida State sent their private, they sent the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences down here out of respect for him. He's a nice guy. I won't give you his name. And they wanted me to be an alumni giver, right? And they wanted me to start giving money to the university. And I told them, I was very clear. And I said, I'll be honest with you guys. I said, as far as the College of Arts and Sciences, which is what this guy represented, I said, I have no interest. I said, he said, well, you graduated from Florida State three times. You know, you're one of our most famous alumni. And I said, I don't care. I said, you guys were so awful to me in undergraduate school there. And the professors were so horrible. What part of that am I supporting? I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, now, if you came from the College of Business, you want me to give money. That's different. I really enjoyed those classes on that protocol. I said, but you guys have to understand something. I said, when you treat kids like dirt, I said, they don't want to give. And Austin, I know the same thing happened to you. In your alma mater, they were so mean to some of the kids of that school. I remember one time a kid was, 21, 22 years old. He was like 3 weeks from graduating over in Lakeland. It's a Christian school, and he was over in Tampa. And he ended up basically getting caught with a beer at a party, and one of the other kids narked him out, and the guy threw him out. The head guy's name was Shainer. He threw him out of school 3 weeks before graduation, and he had to do another whole year at another university to finish his bachelor's degree because a lot of the credits didn't transfer. And then they wonder why, when they come back years later and they ask these people for money as an alumni, they don't want to have anything to do with them. Am I right or wrong, Austin?
Oh yeah, I mean it gets pretty crazy. I mean, especially in the smaller universities. I mean, it was a little bit more elaborate than he just had a beer, but nonetheless, he was at an off-campus house, doing some stuff that really wasn't anything abnormal for college students. But they ended up expelling him. It wasn't even suspended; they expelled him 3 weeks before he was graduating with his bachelor's degree. I mean, it was a huge fiasco. I mean, it was everybody was up in arms about it, and the main individual that contributed to it was a man named Bob Shainer.
That's
if
right.
You know who he is, well, you know, good riddance. He's not at the school anymore. And he had a lot of issues like that. He'd always basically, if there was a kid or there was a problem, if you got in a little bit of trouble there, he would immediately start basically a vendetta with you and would try his best to get you suspended, if not expelled, by basically having people on campus going around trying to narc you out. And that's the only issue you run into with smaller universities sometimes. In Florida State, they just don't care. There's, you know, 40-plus thousand students there.
Well,
doesn't matter, but the small schools, you have that issue sometimes.
Well, good news. Robert De Niro has had an epiphany. He has come forward now onto today's show, and he has said that he wants everybody to see the movie Vaxxed. He thinks it needs to be seen by everybody. He has an 18-year-old autistic son from a black lady he's married to, and the MMR vaccine has been shown to cause autism in black children. And he has now come out pro the movie Vaxxed and said that we've been lied to by the pharmaceutical corporations. There's too much money involved. You can listen to him, watch him on today, and basically blew the lid on the whole thing on national TV. So he must have had some type of epiphany. And then he said, I'm not against vaccines. That's the take they always say. But I'm against dirty vaccines. I want our children to have clean vaccines. And if they have certain genetic predispositions which should prevent them from taking vaccines, they should never, ever be given these vaccines. And of course, they come in and start giving him all these statistics about how people may get the mumps or the measles. And he goes, whatever, you agree. I disagree with you on those statistics. And see, that's the thing we've got to look at is this, is that Robert De Niro has finally now, and he said, Austin, he said on the Today Show that it wasn't his sponsors of the festival, but rather it was the people who were putting movies in the festival, the other filmmakers, that had said they would pull their films if this film aired. Now, whether or not he's getting accurate information on that, I don't know. He then said that he did not know who the filmmakers were who had said this, but now he's going to start asking questions to find out and get to the bottom of this whole fiasco. So, yes, he came out on it. He wants this thing seen, and he wants everybody to hear the truth and hear what's going on with the Food and Drug Administration. So, Austin, we're finally getting traction. Praise God. We're finally starting to make a difference, all of us in the aggregate. So, for listeners, thank you so much for what you're doing and for all the emails that you're sending out and all the emails that we have that you're forwarding to all of your friends to let them know that we're not going to stand by idly and watch this exponential growth curve in these children, which is now 1 in 48 have autism. By 2025, 1 in 2. By 2035, all boys. By 2037, all girls will have autism. This is complete crap is what it is. It's a lie from the pit of hell is all it is, that these people are telling us that these vaccines and these GMOs and this glyphosate and all this poison they're putting into these children is not causing this. It is a gut brain issue. It's an issue with their endocrine systems. It's an issue with their glandular systems. It's an issue with their entire immune system that's causing this. That's why it's a multifaceted problem. And Robert De Niro said this is a very complex issue, but we've got to start here. We've got to start looking at these vaccines. So he straight called it out, Austin. I don't know if you watched that 6-minute video or not today.
I didn't get to see the video. I did glance at the article, though, because I was going through a couple other ones. But, I mean, it's time people wake up, because he's absolutely right. I'm not 100% no vaccines ever any time in your life, period. But the thing I am exactly against is what he's saying is the amount of crud they put in these vaccines. And here's the issue, guys. It's not that the child is getting a true, you know, sterile mumps vaccine that has basically been deactivated, and they're getting that into them in a very clean form and basically one, you know, gram of bacterial static water and nothing else. These things are loaded up with mercury, lead, formaldehyde. You name it, they put this stuff in here, and it's complete and total nonsense. And these children are, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds when they get these vaccines, and it's not something you're getting exposed to via the air, via water, via food, where your body's natural immune response can try and isolate it, break it down, prevent it from going in your body. They're injecting these six-month-olds intramuscularly with these needles and pumping the stuff right into their bloodstream. I saw an article earlier today, I don't have it in front of me, it was about this little girl, completely healthy, at 6 months they took her to her pediatrician, they pumped her full of 8 different vaccines at 6 months. Immediately that night she had massive brain swelling, started crying, had all these health issues, couldn't walk for like a year and a half, finally started to recover. Finally started to do better. Then I think at 2.5 or 3, they brought her back to the pediatrician. The pediatrician said, well, I'm not going to see you anymore unless you get all the scheduled vaccines, because she's not up on her vaccines. And what happened to her when she was 6 months old had nothing to do with her vaccines whatsoever. So you need to get the rest of these vaccines immediately. And they basically caved in and said, well, you know, we only want her getting one shot at a time. They assured her you only get one shot. They look at the report after the next time they come in. Sure enough, she got 3 different vaccines that time, started having all these health problems again. Basically, now she can only walk on her tippy toes, has an issue eating, has an issue, has lung issues, all these health problems now, all because she got pumped full of this toxic garbage at 6 months of age. It's completely nonsense, guys. And I, you know, we've talked about it repeatedly, so I'm not going to keep going into detail about it, but do your own research. Don't listen to the news and their skewed statistics like they try and pump out on people. You could contract the mumps. There's a 501 chance, you know, you could possibly get it. Whatever. Do your own research. Make your own decision. Figure out what you want to do. Don't take everybody's word for it.
Well, no, do that. Just do your own research. I mean, I've been talking about this stuff. That's why we never immunized Austin. He's 27 years old. He had one shot one time. I capitulated to a non-thimerosal shot for the tetanus shot going to camp, if he had to have. That was the only time. And he took that one shot got deathly ill from it. You remember that, Austin? You were laying in bed for 3 days. And I thought, wow, this stuff is that poisonous. It doesn't even have thimerosal in it. Well, I was unaware of the other adjuvants they used back then. Gosh, that was 20 years ago. You know, these adjuvants have finally come to the mainstream media attention, not even mainstream, alternative media attention, in the last 5 or 6 years. And it's primarily because of Dr. Russell Blaylock. I'll give the man credit for that. I know him. I've spoken to him on the phone before. He's a fine man of God, a great doctor, neurosurgeon, has written excellent stuff. Here's an interesting article. The Fed sends a frightening letter, this is like last week, to J.P. Morgan and the corporate media yawns. This is from Pam Martins, who's pretty much a socialist. I realize that now by reading her stuff, because she's a big pro-Bernie Sanders person, but she writes a lot of good stuff. And she wrote, yesterday the Federal Reserve released a 19-page letter that it and the FDIC had issued to Jamie Dimon, who's a complete and total scumbucket, the chairman of the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, on April the 12th. As a result of its failure to present a credible plan for winding itself down if the bank failed, the letter carried frightening passages and large blocks of redacted material in critical areas, instilling in any careful reader a sense of panic about the U.S. financial system. A radical observer of Wall Street's serial hubris might have expected some key segments of this letter to make it into the business press. A mere 8 years ago, the United States experienced a complete meltdown of its financial system, leading to the worst economic collapse since the Great Depression. President Obama and regulators have been assuring us for those intervening 8 years that things are under control as a result of the Dodd-Frank, which is a lie, by the way, financial legislation. But according to the letter the Fed and the FDIC released on April the 12th, J.P. Morgan Chase, the country's largest bank with over $2 trillion in assets and $51 trillion in derivatives, things are decidedly not under control. So you guys need to go ahead and look this up if you want to read the whole article on this. But I'm telling you guys, things are not under control. And these guys are having secret meetings now with the Fed and all these world bankers this week. And now China supposedly is coming out with this world reserve currency backed by gold next month, or actually this month. So we're going to see what's going to happen. It's going to be some interesting times in the next few months to see what's happening here as this thing kind of comes back to a head like it did back in 2007. So we're going to try to make some decisions here as far as which stories we want to continue to report on. But we'll keep you posted on this one, because it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a strange, strange few years, I think. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I definitely do. This just goes to show you that, I mean, the government knows that stuff's starting to break down. The NOAA is now stockpiling military weapons and gear. For those of you who don't know what NOAA is, because I didn't either, so don't feel bad, it's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which falls under the Commerce Department and is primarily responsible for weather-related research. But now they're arming the agents, and not just arming them, they are heavily arming them now, which is the most, which we've talked about before with the EPA, the USDA, all these guys getting their own SWAT teams, submachine guns, military gear. As noted by PJ's media, Rick Moran, the agency now has 96 armed agents, and is basically getting militarized just like the other ones. The NOAA is the government's primary weather and environmental research agency, right? Research agency, and is now arming up. The officials at the NOAA justified the existence of the armed agents as a means of enforcing various laws under the agency's jurisdiction. Yeah, okay. So basically, if a waterway is being overfished or there is some violation of environmental law, there's absolutely nobody else that can handle the situation. The NOAA needs to have their own machine guns and own SWAT team. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's exactly right. The Reason magazine reported the agency sent a heavily armed team of 8 men over possible violations of the Clean Water Act, an act the miners said amounted to intimidation. Apparently there were some miners that basically got fined for something for the Clean Water Act. The residents questioned the need for all these armed agents to participate in what amounted to a water safety check, as well as the public safety threat the action posed. And remember, we went over this, I think, last year, a few months back. The EPA, you know, has stocked up on almost $2 million on automatic weapons, ammunition, night vision, and camouflage gear. And we're seeing agency after agency after agency doing the exact same thing now. Now the NOAA, which, like I said, I didn't even know they did anything but research. Now they have their own, basically, military weapons, and they're arming their agents. This is all on purpose. This is not by chance, guys. They're arming everybody up in the government because they know if there's any type of insurrection, they want to have all these guys armed. Just so I guess they can be, you know, play the big brother police state. That way everybody's armed, and once Hillary tries to get in, she's already told us what she's going to do to the Second Amendment and the United States patriots that have weapons. She already said everybody needs to be disarmed by the government. So you already know her stance on that.
You know, Austin, I think it's deeper than that. I think you're right, but I think it's deeper than that. Yep. You know, the government has built literally dozens, some say close to 70, huge underground bunker complexes in the United States. I mean, massive, massive, massive facilities that can hold hundreds of thousands of people in aggregate. And the craziest thing about this is, you know, Russia's doing the same thing. China's doing the same thing. We've got pyramids under the water in the Caribbean off the coast of Cuba, huge pyramids that are just basically buried out in the Atlantic Ocean that were once on dry land. We've got all kinds of, you know, fossils and ruins in the oceans from civilizations that have been on this planet before. You know, this Earth goes through these calamities, these cataclysmic changes every so often. We saw that with Noah's flood, which was recorded by over 100 different civilizations. And personally, I believe something is wrong. Something is wrong in the cosmos. Something's wrong with the sun. Something's wrong with sunspots. Something's wrong with asteroids or meteorites, or something's on the way here. And they know that. I mean, there's no other reason for this organization that deals with weather phenomena to do this. There's something else going on. Now, whether a lot of people start screaming, well, it might be Planet X. Well, it might be Planet X. I don't know. Now they're admitting that they're in the Oort cloud, that there's actually a giant planet out there. They're saying it's there. It's out there by Pluto. Well, that's a long ways off. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take here, but that sounds like a long ways from Pluto. Okay. But the point is, I don't know what's going on. And so it just seems strange to me that the post office is getting armed, all these government agencies are getting armed. I mean, all these people that don't need automatic weapons are getting automatic weapons. I find it all odd. It's almost like they're prepping us. The Vatican has Project Lucifer in Arizona, which they have that giant telescope that they've named Lucifer. It's a binocular. It's basically like a giant set of binoculars that look up into the sky. The Pope keeps talking about something on the way and something's going to be disclosed. There's something else going on here that they're not telling us again, which doesn't surprise anybody here. I've already told you guys that I believe in the angels and the demons and all the stuff the Bible talks about. I believe all of that stuff. I believe these people aren't from around here. These entities aren't from around here. We know that we've got CERN trying to open up these interdimensional portals. We know that. We know that we have multiple dimensions in the universe. We already know that by quantum mechanics. Something is going on so big that they're spending tens of trillions of dollars in government money, hidden money, building giant underground bunker complexes, including space-based weapon systems. I don't know what's going on, Austin. You know, it's kind of like the Manhattan Project. You know, they had tens of thousands of people working on this thing and nobody talked about it, and suddenly we had this atomic bomb. You know, so I don't know, but something big is happening. Bob Fletcher thinks something's coming in, but of course Bob's pretty much discredited himself because he's given exact time dates. He says it'll be last spring or last fall or this spring, which has already passed. So it's going to be interesting what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So I like Bob. He's a great guy. I've sent him multiple emails and stuff, but you can't be putting dates on this stuff. All you can do is pretty much is to hope that I've hoped, like I said, something's happening. They're preparing for something, whether it's a world war, a financial collapse, a meteorite shower, a rogue planet, the loss of the United States currency's reserve dollar. I don't know. I mean, if I had that kind of knowledge, I'd be telling you guys. Shoot, we're having little fire pit chats all the time. I don't even bother telling you. I just tell you guys everything that's going on in our lives all the time. So that's what, you know, if I knew, I'd tell you. You have my word before God Almighty. If I knew for sure, I'd tell you. And see, that's the problem. The people who do know aren't talking. They're not saying anything about anything because they've either been threatened, their families have been threatened, their lives have been threatened, or whatever. That's one of the reasons they're going to try to do everything they possibly can to keep Donald Trump out of office, because he's a loose cannon on deck. They don't know what to do with him because he's not a member of the club. He's not a member of a secret society. He hasn't sodomized another guy in a casket like some of these guys do when they enter some of these weird fraternities. So he hasn't done any of that stuff. I mean, he's pretty clean, right? He's had a couple of divorces, been married now for a long time, has had three beautiful wives, got some really great kids. I mean, the point is this, he's a billionaire. He's not perfect. We all make mistakes, but he don't want to play the game anymore. So I think that's why they're doing it. Here's another article. Jimmy Gonzalez, and people haven't really heard of him. He was an attorney. He was born in 1972 and he died in 2014. And this is an interesting one. He did a video before he died. And Austin, you'll find this interesting. And he said on this video, he was an attorney, died in 2014, and he's testifying here before a council meeting, and he says that cell phones cause cancer. And where he held his cell phone in his hand, like hours every day, he developed a cancer tumor on his hand. Where he held it next to his ear, he developed a level 4 glioblastoma tumor in his brain. And where he kept it in his coat pocket, he developed a cancer there on his chest area.
Okay? Wow.
Three different cancers. He's sitting here talking. Jimmy Gonzalez, you can look it up. Jimmy Gonzalez, 1972 to 2014. Cell phones cause cancer. You guys can Google and watch his presentation. And he's saying, look, he goes, all right, now they're telling me that I'm doing better than most of the cancer survivors. And he holds up his hand, shows the scar on his head, says, look, keep these things away from your body. He says, if you read the inserts on these cell phones, they say to keep them at least 1 inch to 2 inches away from your body and never let them touch your skin. See, guys, that's literally impossible to do and carry a cell phone. It's literally impossible to do and hold a cell phone. So he says, but they warn you in advance. Cell phones, Wi-Fi radiation, all of this stuff really messes with you because our bodies are an electrical frequency. We've talked about this many times on the show. You know, we're in a holographic universe and we're an energy wave. These things put out their own energy wave, which disrupts our energy wave patterns, causing our energy wave patterns to become malignant or damaged or incorrect, and they start reproducing incorrectly with the cell levels. That's what happens with these people, with these cell phones. That's why so many girls are having health problems. So many guys are having health problems. In fact, I know people who have been around radiation is what it is. It's non-ionizing radiation in their homes, and they get deathly ill from it. You see it with the smart meters. They know it's doing this, but they don't care. Now, if you're in a really bad area with a lot of this stuff, you can get one of those copper mesh nets. It's real little tiny fibers of copper. It's like a mosquito net. And you can actually hook it from your ceiling, and you can, it's got a pretty colorful, it's copper, and you can actually hang it over your bed at night, and hang it behind your bed, around your bed, and that way it stops all of these frequencies, because you basically go to sleep in a Faraday cage, is what you do. So if you're in a really bad area with this stuff, get you one of those nets. I'm not joking about this, okay? I know it sounds weird. If I didn't have the ability to turn all my Wi-Fi off at night, and we didn't live out here in the country, you know, out on acreage, so I was pretty far away from my neighbors, I would go ahead and get me one of these things. And it still bothers me because what happens is the 110 current in our houses, Austin, a man by the name of Lilly discovered a wave. He could piggyback on the 110 current, and he could actually put a wavelength into your house through your currents, through the power lines, and he could actually broadcast messages in through the power lines. And the same thing, certain frequencies, certain tones, certain everything else, through the power lines, which engulf the entire house. It's called the Lilly Wave. You guys look it up. L-I-L-L-Y, the Lilly Wave. And the way, most of the time, if you subject your body to that much radiation, ionizing radiation from the power lines or from any type of source, it will cause brain damage. But what he was able to do is it inverts and goes up a step, back a step, goes out the other side a step, and it tricks the brain cells into accepting the message from it. And so it's some crazy stuff from the physics. And tomorrow night, I'm going to be on Hagman's show tomorrow night for 3 full hours from 7 to 10. And I'm going to go into detail on Lilly waves and electromagnetic radiation and what you can do to avoid this stuff. So guys, stay tuned for tomorrow night on Hagman. It's going to be a mind bender tomorrow night again. It's one of those shows that I do that's going to be a mind bender. What's your next story, Oz? Or do you have a comment?
Yeah, though that should be pretty good. I definitely recommend anybody's interested in that because I've got quite a few emails people have asked me on that specific thing, and I'm not extremely well versed in that area yet. I know you have, so yeah, if you guys are interested in that, that's the show to listen to tomorrow. That'll be on the 15th of April, so that's definitely a good one to listen to. This is interesting now. The IRS now, IRS Commissioner John Kosecant, he's now come out now and he told congressional hearing that the IRS doesn't have a problem with illegal immigrants using fraudulent Social Security numbers to file their taxes because they're doing it for a legitimate reason. How bizarre and twisted have we become in this country now? Not only are we talking about A, they're in the U.S. illegally, B, they're using a fraudulent Social Security number, but it's okay because they're paying their taxes. A question from Senator Dan Coats during a session at the Senate Finance Committee about why the IRS appears to be collaborating with taxpayers who file tax returns using fraudulent information. And what he learned, the IRS continues to process tax returns with fake or wrong W-2 information and issues refunds as if they were routine tax returns and say that's not really our job. They also learned the IRS ignores notifications from the Social Security Administration that a name does not match the Social Security number. So what they're saying is as long as the information is being used only to file taxes, it's okay. Well, my question is, guys, where are they getting these fraudulent Social Security numbers? Are they stealing them from people? Are they using dead people's Social Security numbers? How far does this go? And see, what people don't understand, this, I mean, this article came out a couple years ago, I think back in 2013, but I wanted to address it. Remember, there was a big thing about this on the news, and then it got hushed up real quick. The IRS put out almost $5 billion in 2010 in what is known as the Additional Child Tax Credit, and they issued them to ITIN numbers, which are individual taxpayer identification numbers. If you see one of these or they refer to one of these, it almost all the time is somebody that's an illegal immigrant here. And the problem I have with that is they actually have it set up for illegals to file taxes and apply for this. And what they were doing was these people were coming in, these illegals were, they were working these small basic jobs, and they were turning around and filing for additional child tax credit and getting back $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 sometimes on their refund checks, and a lot of them didn't even have the children present. The additional child tax credit was created to help out those who make too little to qualify for a full child tax credit. And what's interesting is once the illegals found out you could do this, this is crazy numbers right here. Illegal immigrant workers who used the tax credit jumped from 796,000 filers in 2005. That was it. Out of the whole United States, a little under 800,000 filers. 2008, 1.5 million filers applied for this. By 2010, almost 2.5 million filers applied for this and came to the announcement that it was almost $5 billion IRS paid out in money that wasn't even legitimate money paid back. You guys understand this? These are illegal immigrants. They shouldn't even be getting any money back from IRS as far as credits for the government. And not only that, they were massively abusing the system. Mr. North, who's the one who took on the study, they went to multiple towns. They found one address that 627 ITINs were registered to that they applied for the child tax credit. 627. The town only had a population of 862 people in Virginia. That was in Parksville, Virginia. They found another one that had over 100 registered in a town with only 800 residences. So this is a serious issue. That's why I address this, because it's not just the fact that the IRS commissioner is such a blithering idiot. He says it's okay if they file with fake Social Security numbers because they're filing. It's because the only reason they're filing, they're using a fake ID, a fake number, Social Security number, to turn around and file for these child additional tax credits and file for children that aren't even there. Most of them aren't even here. They're in Mexico, and they'll put 7, 8, 9, 10 kids down on here and get back $40,000 or $50,000 that comes right out of the money that we pay. So that's the issue I have with this. That's why this needs to be addressed. The entire IRS needs to be completely reformed, if not abolished. The fact that they even came out and said this is okay behavior and it's okay if people use fake Social Security numbers should raise a red flag to anybody that has any type of common sense left. This is not okay. That's not normal behavior. This needs to be addressed immediately. And this is what Trump has brought up numerous, numerous times as egregious behavior by the government and needs to be addressed immediately, especially as our debt was in.
Well, what happened back in 1913, we had the Federal Reserve Act, and right after that, we had the IRS Act passed through.
Yep.
And it was all pushed through by Wilson, that compromised buffoon. And what ended up happening is the IRS initially was just a kind of thing where you would send a check in at the end of the year, and that, you know, it's basically to help the war effort for World War One, because, you know, they always like to put you in the war to get you into debt. The bankers do. And then what happened is it wasn't until Franklin Delano Roosevelt started doing the payroll reductions for World War II and during the Great Depression to help fund the government, And he said it would only be temporary, that they would have payroll deductions, and they would go back to the old system. Because remember, when they first started, it's like what they always do. It was like 0.5%, 1% of the money. So if you made $1,000, you had to give them $10. You know, whatever. You know, somebody's got to build the roads. You know, I have no problem with that. The problem now is all the money from the IRS that comes in cannot fund the national debt or the interest on the national debt. It's, you know, the deficits are having to be run constantly to do all of this. And it's just, it's another way that socialism takes over, because when they implement these systems with the IRS, with this tiered income tax structure, and with the inheritance taxes, it makes it literally impossible to pass wealth on from one generation to the next generation, unless it goes into some type of trust or some type of corporation that's passed through into perpetuity, which a lot of the wealthy have done. See, that's what's been going on now for hundreds of years in the United States, and in the last 100 years it's gotten unbelievably bad because of the inheritance taxes. And again, it's all part of the communist plank, communist, you know, manifesto, so to speak, of what they wanted to do. And these, and remember, these bankers are primarily, you know, communist Satanists, and that's what they do. And this is who they are. And so we could get into a whole kick and parade on that day, but I'm not going to. Here's another interesting one. A breaking GOP official makes bombshell Trump nomination announcement no one expected. Republican candidate Donald Trump, something magical just happened to his magic number. For weeks, Trump and his rivals have been fixated on the number 1237 delegates, which is the number he would need to win a first ballot nomination. On Wednesday, the Republican National Committee member Randy Evans said that in practice, Trump will need at least 1,100 delegates to win, not the 1,237. He said if Trump exceeds 1,100 votes, he'll become the nominee, even though he won't have 1,237s. Evans said on MSNBC's Morning Joe, if he gets less than 1,000 delegates, then I think we're looking at a contested convention, which could go on for many, many days. Now, I believe this is obfuscation. I believe this is complete and total nonsense. I know that Jack Davis wrote this article, and he's believing what he's hearing, but I don't believe any of this. I really don't. I believe there's so much backlash from what happened in Colorado, they had to defuse the situation, and they had to throw a bone back to the American people who are calling by the thousands now into Capitol Hill complaining about what's happened in Colorado. And so I believe this is a obfuscation bone, Austin, that they've thrown to the population of the United States to try to calm everybody down. Nothing to see here. It's okay. Trump's going to win. All he needs is 1,000. All he needs is 1,100. Don't worry about the 1,200. Move on here. Nothing to see. That's what this is again. That's all this is. I don't believe for one second they're going to let him in to the White House. I believe they're going to do everything they possibly can. I mean, we know that Heidi Cruz was one of the authors on the new North American Union, that she signed off on it to completely get rid of the borders of Mexico, the United States, and Canada, and make us all a big country over here. And she's part of the CFR, and she's also part of Goldman and Sachs. And again, Goldman and Sachs is the one that's doing all of this stuff. And, you know, that's what's crazy with the J.P. Morgan also that we talked about a few minutes ago. These are all Rothschild banks. This whole thing, see what they do. They feed you the information, and they give you false information. They give you disinformation, and they just lie to you. And they expect you just to not be able to figure out what's the lie and what's the truth anymore. And that's what the one head of the FBI said years ago. He said, we'll know we will have exceeded with the propaganda when everything that everyone in America believes is a lie. I mean, who even says stuff like that, Austin? But that's what they believe. That's what they believe. It's horrible. What's your next story, buddy?
No, I remember when I read that before, and it was almost, exactly. It was almost surreal reading that quote. But that's exactly what their overall goal is. Once the entire, and that's why you see it. But vaccines are good. Eat your GMOs. They're healthy for you. Drink your fluoride. It makes your teeth stronger. You know, make sure you use aluminum cookware and aluminum deodorant. It's good for you. All this stuff is complete and total opposite of what's the truth. And that's the absolute truth. Once the American population believes what they believe, that everything is a lie, and they don't realize it's a lie, the government will pretty much have succeeded in completely brainwashing the entire country. And at that point, there will be very little resistance left for them to do whatever they want to do, because everybody's going to believe the lie.
That was a quote from the CIA William Casey, CIA director.
Yeah.
We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American believes is a false. That's what it is. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is back in 1981, and they've been continuing to pump this. And remember, this is they following the same thing that Bernays taught Hitler, to follow the Hitler line. No matter how big the lie, repeated over and over and over and over again, and sooner or later, the masses who've been dumbed down on the fluoride, dumbed down on the statin drugs, dumbed down by the immunizations, will regard it as the truth. And see, that's the craziest part. They will regard it as the truth. And see, it's sad, but this is what they've done to the United States population. They've believed the lie. Vaccines are safe. They were saying that on, when he, they were arguing with Robert De Niro. Oh, no, 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 no. And he goes, oh, yes, 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 yes. You know, or whatever they were saying, something like that. And that's what they were doing. And so that's what happens. They want you to believe the lie. Oh, you gotta be crazy if you think vaccines aren't safe. Robert De Niro and Jim Carrey are both smart now. They go, we're not opposed to vaccines. We love vaccines. We just want safe vaccines. There's no such thing with our current pharmaceutical corporations, with their indemnity they've been given by Ronald Reagan back in 1986. There is no such thing as a safe vaccine being produced in the United States today, unless it's being produced for the upper level, the elite, who are being given these drugs to prevent diseases in them without all of the adjuncts and poisons added to it. Now, that's the truth.
That is, period. That's the absolute truth. There's no way around it at all. That's exactly, and that's kind of why I think they tiptoe around that and make that statement. The same thing I said. Safe vaccines are okay, but they're not manufactured. They have zero. The pharmaceuticals and the vaccine industry have zero incentive to produce safe vaccines. Most of them will cost much more money with R&D of trying to do stuff and produce it now naturally, because it's been produced with all these adjuncts now to kill pretty much anything in it, including the baby that it's injected to. So they have no incentive, because, like I said, when Ronald Reagan passed that, you know, vaccine act, where basically they couldn't be sued, they couldn't be held responsible for anything they do. Are you kidding me? I mean, where do they come off like that? I mean, why? I still, that is one of the only things, those two things, the 1986 Firearms Protection Owners Act and the Vaccine Protection Act, those are the two things that Ronald Reagan did at the very end that I really don't truly believe he even realized what he was doing at that point. But those were egregious, man. Those changed America for the worst, changed it for the worst. And well, I remember, believe those two things are going to get peeled.
Remember, Ronald Reagan, I love the guy, okay? In fact, he's one of the only guys that was on the seminar circuit after he got out of the White House that I didn't get a chance to speak with back in the 90s, because he had gotten off the circuit right before I started because of the Alzheimer's issue. But Ronald Reagan had senile dementia in the White House. He slept most of the time. George Bush, the former head of the CIA, ran the thing. In fact, that was a big thing on the set of debates on his second election, you know, when he was in there with Mondale, that basically they weren't even sure if he was capable from a senile standpoint to be president of the United States. And he didn't know what he was doing. I'll be honest with you, Austin, he was senile. Now, he was a great orator, and everybody loved the idea of a Norman Rockwell America. They loved the idea of Ronald Reagan. And had Ronald Reagan been 30 years younger, and he had not almost been killed, even in his 70s, they were so scared of him, Austin, they shot him 1 month into office to try to get rid of him, to put the head of the CIA, George Bush, into the White House. Now, that's what they did. And that's why after he was shot, the Ronald Reagan, who campaigned initially against all of the mess that was going on, was gone. And that's why they were able to pull the wool over his eyes with this vaccine crap and all with the gun stuff with the automatic weapons. And that the Ronald Reagan that we all know and love for who he was, it was a fictitious character that they created for us. He was not there anymore. He was a shell. He was suffering with senile dementia. That's the problem that we have. That's why we have those two sources of legislation. But I still love Ronald Reagan. I at least love the idea of Ronald Reagan. I love that. You know, cowboy, Western actor, becomes president of the United States. Anybody in America become president of the United States if an actor can do it. Well, now we're seeing that's not true. Even a billionaire business guy can't become president if they don't want him to. So we're all getting a real reality check with this time around on this election on who really runs the country and how much our votes really count, son.
Yes, that's the truth. And one thing I wanted to address, about 2 years ago it came out, I think it was the beginning of 2015, Homan Square, which is a Chicago black site, it's one of the most secretive police holding areas in Chicago. Most police don't even know who they're holding there. It was brought to light back in 2015. All these reports have come out now that people were held at the facility, complained of being beaten, illegally restrained for hours without being allowed to contact people outside. One individual even claimed he was sexually abused until he agreed to take part in a drug sting. And thousands of people have been taken to this Homan Square, is what it's called, the Chicago Off-Site Interrogation Center, over the last decade. This is crazy. Out of the 7,351 arrests at Homan Square that have been disclosed since 2004, Chicago police officers not working at the facility would have only been able to find information on 275 of them. They claim that they like to keep everything internal there, so they do everything as far as with booking on paper. They do not use any type of digital information that can be cross-referenced or checked back with any other local police department. It is a black site. You do not know when, if you go there, nobody knows you went there. The public has not had any access to any records there. Most of the records regarding individuals held in the facility exist outside of the electronic record system, like I told you that. And all of those who are held there at the site, less than 1% of the people at that site have had access to an attorney. Some lawyers said they've even showed up looking for their client, and they were completely denied access into Homan Square. That whole place right there is a giant police state run amok. It's in the middle of Chicago, so I don't know what else you can expect out of that place. But this is something that it's gotten multiple publicity, and nobody has come in and shut it down, and it does need to get addressed. So I thought I'd bring it up on the show. If you do live in Illinois, that would be something that I would be pushing your legislation for immediately, to open the books on Homan Square and find out why nothing there is ever obtainable by any local law enforcement, and everything's a black site, and attorneys can't even be present there when they're interrogating somebody. Pretty crazy, the fact that we actually have that in the United States. I'm sure there's more other ones that we don't even know about. You see stuff like this on 24 and, you know, other shows like this. You're about a CIA black site. Well, they exist, but they're there. They're very clear. They're right in the middle of Chicago, and nobody can even do anything about it. So I thought I would bring that to light today and kind of shed that out so everybody can just food for thought on that one.
This is right back to the SS, the
yep.
Gestapo, the secret police, the this is what it is. I mean, this is what they are. This is who they are. I mean, you know, they operate with immunity. They can do anything they want to do. You know, I talked earlier this week about my little run-in with the Lakeland Police Department years ago, and you know how they were able to do anything they wanted to do to you at the time that this all was going on. And then later, you know, 3M ended up getting, you know, fired over this and other reasons at the Lakeland Police Department. And I mean, this, you know, this is the problem. When you give people power and you give them absolute power, it's the old adage comes back to truth, Austin. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you give these people, the ones who are enforcing the law, immunity against the law, that they think they can do anything they want to, and they no longer are law abiders, they become law breakers and they become abusers. And you see this in all these different interrogation sites with the CIA and these black ops centers. And it's sad because this was the United States of America. This was the land of the home of the free and the brave. This was the place where the whole world could come and look to for some type of relief from the rest of the planet with all the tyranny that was going on. But the bankers came in 1913. And they took over the country in 1933. They took over everything in 1934 with their shadow government through the Exchange Stability Fund. And this is what's going on. Then they're all being funded to the black ops, to the CIA. And we've given all of this power to the CIA and to these sorcerers and to these black magicians who are running the planet now, and they're serving their master, Lucifer. That's what it all boils down to. Here's another article. Macedonian police fire tear gas at migrants at the Greek border, along with rubber bullets. This is from Reuters. Again, so take it with a grain of salt, because Reuters and AP are both owned by the Rothschilds. Macedonian police fired tear gas on Wednesday to disperse around 50 migrants stranded in Greece who tried to pull down part of the razor wire fencing separating the two countries. Good luck with razor wire.
Yeah,
we're metal gloves to handle that stuff. Scuffles briefly broke out, and Greek riot police later intervened to break up the crowd. Tensions have boiled over the makeshift migrant camp near the town of Idomeni, where more than 10,000 migrants and refugees have been stranded since February, when Balkan countries had enough of it and shut their country borders to anyone wanting to head north. Hundreds of migrants were injured on Sunday in clashes with Macedonian police, who fired tear gas and rubber bullets after a group tried to storm the border. I wouldn't want to be in the front of that storm going against razor wire, guys. I mean, you can't even touch that junk without cutting yourself. I mean, you got to use pliers and wire gloves, you know, like mesh gloves to be involved with this stuff. So, you know what, guys? This is Angela Merkel. In fact, I heard one man say today on another interview that Europe will soon be called Euro-Asia because it'll be all Muslim. There's like another 100 million they want to bring into Europe. 100 million more. They said the Netherlands right now has a 1.2 birth rate, and the only way a country can be viable is to have a 2.1 to 2.2. In other words, what that means is that two people produce two kids plus another one to make up for the ones who die. That's what it means. So when you're 1.2, you're cutting in half. So if one generation has 100,000 people, the next generation will only have 50,000 people, the next generation will only have 25,000 people, the next generation will only have 12,000 people, the next generation will have 6,000 people, and they're functionally gone within 4 to 5 generations. That's what it means with this birth rate. So you have to, in order to be a successful biological specimen, you have to have at least 2.1 children. Now, I've broken that little record. I'm at 4 now, so thank God for that. And see, the thing about it is I don't play the globalist games. I mean, they're killing literally hundreds of millions of children globally, yearly, you know, with abortions and pesticides and drugs and chemicals and all of the things that we never even hear about in this country. And we're still having 100 million growth in third world countries right now, which is freaking them all out. And they're trying to reduce the population of the planet any way they possibly can. What do you think about this, Austin? What do you think about what's going over there in Macedonia now and them shooting them with tear gas and rubber bullets, trying to keep them out?
Well, I'm just pretty impressed that the migrants have the equipment to start tearing down razor wire fences. that's pretty impressive to me. But no, in all serious, no, it is interesting what's going on over there. I mean, there's no question that, I mean, it's a powder keg. It's going to get worse. There's absolutely no argument there anymore.
Okay, well, hang on, Austin. We're almost out of time. I want to say one more story real quick. I apologize. Please forgive me. In Flint, fears of showering are bringing desperate measures because of the water contamination in Flint with lead. People are going to gymnasiums and places outside of the city where they get the water, and they're actually getting gym memberships, and they're spraying themselves off with bottled water to not use the city tap water. Guys, at Health Masters, we've got a product. It's a shower filter. It takes all of this junk out of the water before you shower. We use them here at the house. I mean, we use shower filters everywhere on our showers here. The reason for that, we have some sulfur in the water. It takes all the smell out. So, guys, thank you for supporting us. We're almost out of time. Healthmasters.com is the website. Sorry we forgot to talk about it today. Just forgot. We got the music playing right now. That's why I had to stop you, Austin. Healthmasters.com. Go to the website. Sign up for a free newsletter. Check out our shower filters. They're phenomenal. They take, like, everything out. They're amazing. They take out the smell, the odor, all of it. Healthmasters.com. Also go to the website and sign up for our free newsletter and learn about health, learn about nutrition. We'd love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, guys. Thank you. If you need anything, give us a call or email us at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night. We'll be on again tomorrow, and Dad will be on the Hagman Show tomorrow night. So don't miss that. That's going to be a great show. You guys have a wonderful night.